We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Uh-oh.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Don't tell me. We're about to go over a huge waterfowl.
Yep.
Sharp rocks at the bottom?
Most likely.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Bring it on.
On WGR. Sports Radio 550.
It's raining. It is raining, unfortunately, today here on Sports Talk Saturday. But the good news is, if you're in your car, headed out, maybe you're doing some indoor activities today. I don't know what that might include. Sal, what kind of indoor activities do you do when it's raining? I mean, you've got a young kid. He's likely going to want to go outside, raining or not. So, like, what do you do on a rainy day?
Believe it or not, so first of all, let me tell you, we arrived back in Buffalo at 2 a.m., all right? So by the time I got to bed after getting home, getting unpacked, and get my stuff in the washer, because I wanted to, you know, kind of get all that started and stuff like that, had a little bite to eat. By the time all that happened, it was about 2:45 or so. Got up this morning, played with Max, hadn't seen him in a while. We are actually out shopping for school supplies.
Oh, wow, that's right. That's...
You
yeah.
Remember those days,
I
right?
I do, yep.
We have a list, erasers, dry, you know, colored pencils, those kinds of things. He's going into first grade, so you can imagine what this list entails. That's where we are right now.
It's, I kind of forget about school shopping, but that's kind of like a rite of passage. It's right around this time. Actually, you're doing a good job, Sal, getting there a little bit earlier than the rest, I'd assume. You might be like one of the first or second waves of people going in for school shopping. So that's, I have the feeling you're not behind that, though. I would say your wife is probably the one that prepared for that, right?
That is right. She's like, hey, do you want to go school shopping? We need all this stuff today. I'm like, sure, that's what
whatever.
We can do.
Yeah.
We are going to superhero night tonight, though. Tonight at the Bisons, it's superhero night. So Max is debating what he wants to wear. It's either going to be Spider-Man or Batman at this point, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, you should be looking at some good weather tonight. It's supposed to clear up here in an hour or so. So you should be all set for superhero tonight. Superhero night tonight. Sale last night was... another really good performance, and I know it's hard to take away things from preseason games. I think, to be quite honest with you, it's easier to come away saying positive things than it is negative things. But really, they have, especially the starters, and that's where we should start, and we can start on the offensive side of the ball because they started on the offensive side of the ball first. You know, we talked a little bit during halftime and postgame yesterday, Sale, just the passing is kind of a new thing, right? Like, you mentioned that they're out there more than likely trying to get Josh Allen as many reps, especially with Cole Beasley, as possible, considering they didn't really have a spring. Having said that, they don't look like those two. Let's just focus on Allen and Beasley. They don't look like two guys that just started figuring things out 3 weeks ago.
No, it's real. I'm really impressed with how, you know, they've come along together, considering that Cole really wasn't available through the OTAs. The mini camp with the core muscle surgery that he had, you know, that was a bit of a setback for them to get their relationship going. But, you know, they did a good job off the field to develop that relationship, first of all, while that was happening. And you know, that was key. And I talked to Cole at length yesterday, and, you know, he said, again, really, it's communication. It's all about communication. What we see when we go out to practice as media, we obviously see them working with each other, things like that. What we don't see is the one-on-ones that are happening after a practice. Let's say the meeting room, the film room, talking with each other, body language, explaining what each is seeing, what they like, what they don't like. This is where it was going in the OTAs and minicamp because they couldn't work together. But I think really we've seen this ramping up over the last couple of weeks now on the field. They had a great week together. I noted it on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it just continued into yesterday. So I think the Bills fans should be really encouraged by what they're seeing from Josh Allen to Cole Beasley and how that relationship is starting to come along.
I think everyone, when they talk about Josh Allen, Sale, they talk about this invisible ceiling. And they say he could be this good because of the traits that he has. Warren Sharp yesterday, Sharp Football on Twitter, posted a really interesting stat that I wanted to run past you. I don't know if you saw it or not. But basically talking about Allen and Darnold, just a reminder, basically saying top 15 draft picks since 2012 as rookies series, a combined 45 and 70. And then in year two, 97 and 56, a big, big, big time increase in wins in from your rookie season to year two. I don't know what you could take away from that sale, but I think that what people are seeing now and compared to what they saw from Josh Allen in college, I think we're starting to see more of the capabilities and some of the things that we're seeing that are closer to his ceiling than they are closer to his floor.
Yeah, and you know, I just think there's a huge difference between what we saw last year in training camp versus this year. And there's a lot of reasons for that, right? I mean, he is a year older. He's a year more experienced. He's been in the NFL for 2 years, like Warren points out, with how that can be a growth. But let's think about it. Last year, he was getting like a third of the reps. And then, and really even less than that with the first team. You know, and what I wrote about back in March, maybe even February, was the difference this offseason is going to be that Josh Allen's the man from day one. He was the man, obviously, last year. But the minute the season ended, there was no debating who the quarterback was. There was no three-way competition or even two-way competition. This is Josh Allen's team. Every single rep he's going to get. You're talking about probably a couple thousand more reps. Think about that. Than he had last year at this time, and especially with the first team. I think that's a huge difference for him. And then I think Ken Dorsey has really helped him a lot. He has good coaching, good tutelage. Brian Daboll's really done a nice job. And you know what I like about what Brian Daboll has done? And you know, this has kind of been coming up lately, but I don't think we've really talked about what this really means for Josh. That Brian is not babying him. You know, he's giving him the freedom. He's telling him, Nate, like, you're the quarterback, and if you see something you don't like, you got to get out of it. But guess what? With that comes responsibility. You better get into the right call. You better make the right call. And I think, you know, putting that onus on Josh and not babying him has really been beneficial, because especially with that relationship with Cole, the freedom that he has and things like that, I think Josh understands the magnitude and the gravity of, you know, what's in front of him and what he has to do. And you're right about the ceiling. There is none with his talent. It's just his talent is off the charts. I think the other thing people always talk about, right, it's that, and it's, well, he's inaccurate, the accuracy. But here's the difference this year. If he continues to take the layup, that accuracy will go up. I don't know how high. I don't know how far. I don't know for how sustainable, because, you know, sooner or later he's going to be throwing downfield. We want him to do that, right? But he's taking the layups now, Nate, and he was 9 of 11 last night with two balls. One of them was an incomplete. One of them was a drop. The other was kind of a throwaway. So, really, he was about 90% passing last night.
Yeah, for sure. And Sale, one of the things that I think stood out to me yesterday in Sean McDermott's post-game press conference, he mentioned that it looks like the game has slowed down for Josh Allen. I'm interested in your interpretation of what that exactly means, because I'm sure people, it's a phrase people hear a lot, especially when they assess quarterbacks, is the quote, the game slows down. But what does that really mean to you?
What it means to me is he's trusting the pocket. He's trusting his offensive line. He's watching things develop and being patient with them. He's not bailing after two reads and saying, oh, I better get out of here. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, obviously being new quarterback in the NFL, not recognizing certain coverages, he sees something he doesn't really recognize, or it's foreign to him, or he's, you know, not ready to attack. And he says, oh, I got to get off of that real quick. Now he's seeing everything so much better because he's understanding coverages better. He's understanding what teams are trying to do them. And when he sees it and he's familiar, he's like, okay, like I know what that is. So I'll just go over here and look to this guy now. And then on top of it, boy, this offensive line, they've been doing a good job protection. Yep, last night had a couple breakdowns, no doubt about it. But I think overall, this camp, he's had good protection. He's trusting his offensive line. If you want to see the difference between the game slowing down for someone and the game being a little too fast for someone, just watch Josh versus Tyree Jackson last night. And I'm not saying that to knock Tyree Jackson. He is a rookie, and he's coming from the Mid-American Conference. But you could tell last night the game is just too fast for him right now. And if you watch Josh and then you watch Tyree, you'll see the difference between what that means and how it looks when his game is slowing down for you versus when the game is too fast for you.
Sal Capaccio here on the West Tour Hotline. I think another example, Sal, I went back last night after the last night's game. I went on Game Pass, and I rewatched the Bengals preseason game from a year ago and tried to just watch Josh Allen in the, you know, three or four series that he played in that game. And the one thing that I took away watching that game with last night's game fresh in my mind, and with that the game slowing down aspect, it looked like last season in that game, and you got to remember, Josh Allen, that's the first game that he really plays in with the starting unit. And the thing that I took away was I don't really think he really – you talked about Tyree Jackson. That's what Josh Allen looked like in that game last year against Geno Atkins, against that – with that offensive line, really unable to block that Cincinnati Bengals defensive line. And you just – you see this difference of demeanor, but I think what I see is his head, like from the snap of the football – he kind of knows already where he's going with the ball, and that just was not present, at least on film last season. And I think if you're going to take away anything from last night's football game, whether or not you think, hey, 9 of 11 is really good, 100 yards, this is everything we want to see, I think the good news is he understands why he needs to throw the ball to Cole Beasley, right? He understands why checking it down is important. But I think he's also seeing that he needs to check the ball down in those situations instead of stretching the ball. That's the difference for me. I think in terms of slowing down, I just think that he's understanding what the defense is throwing at him now. And he's got outlets, you know, to make the plays necessary. And that's a huge step for a year two player. And if Warren Sharp's numbers are going to stay true and you go from a 39% win percentage up to a 63% win percentage, it's got to be because you understand what teams are trying to do to defend you and how you kind of counter that, right?
Yeah, and look, when Josh was drafted, one of the things that was really said a lot about him by the guys down at One Bills Drive was how smart he was. One of the reasons they really liked him was on the whiteboard, he was super smart. His recall was super smart. I don't think Josh gets enough credit for that because he's so physically talented. People talk about the arm talent and all that kind of stuff, but you know, he's a really smart kid. He's a smart quarterback, and he's got coaches that can, you know, help him along, obviously, but he's got to do a lot of that legwork, and he's doing it, and he's recognizing those things. And yes, that's part of the game slowing down, is understanding coverage, is pre-snap, a lot of pre-snap stuff. I can tell you, Nate, though, it really started on Tuesday this week. I thought this was one of the best over the last, since they drafted Josh Allen, through last OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason, regular season, through now. I think this was the best week for Josh Allen's career so far. And I'm not trying to be funny or weird or hyperbolic when I say that. He had a really good Tuesday and Wednesday, and this team had a really good Tuesday and Wednesday, but I saw a difference. There was a jump, a noticeable jump, just from the previous week to Tuesday and Wednesday practices and then carrying it over into last night. And I woke up this morning thinking about this, and I said, boy, I wonder if I'm going to write something about how this was a turning point week in Josh Allen's career. That's how good I think it was.
Wow. That's a lot. I mean, that's saying a lot. I mean, especially when you look at the situation, right? And what I love about this, Sal, is, and I don't think we really even talked about this, but he gets to go from every week so far in the preseason going up against a very good defense in the Bills defense. Then he's
that's
going
right.
up this week against a 3-4 defense, a very different schematic defense. By the way, he'll be playing that in week one against the New York Jets, who's also a really, really good defense. So far in the preseason, I think the thing you have to take away is if you're feeling good about Josh Allen, you're feeling good about Josh Allen, who's going up against a top two defense, top three defense from last year, and another really, really good one in Carolina. Like, to me, that's a takeaway. I don't care that it's preseason or training camp. He's doing it against teams or, you know, a roster of players that is considered to be a really top-end talented group in the NFL. That, to me, it can't just kind of go be brushed away lightly, I think.
No, that's right. And that was one of the things they really talked about over the last couple of days, which is the how invaluable it was to have a chance to go against a different defense. And by the way, Gerald McCoy and Kaywon Short, I mean, come on, you're going against those guys as well. Obviously, Luke Kuechly didn't play last night. We know that. But he was practicing out there on Tuesday and Wednesday, but this was a really good defense. It was a different look defense. And no, they weren't that good last year, actually. They were one of the they had a really disappointing defensive season, but I think they have a lot of talent on that defense.
They do, yeah.
And I think seeing that, yeah, and seeing that 3-4 for the first time for him 2 days against that was really good. But the other point you're making about the Bills defense going against them every day, Nate, that is right. I mean, I just watched this defense and what they're doing, and I look at the talent around this defense with the Bills, and it really is something else. And I wrote about this after last week's game. I said, they just got guys, man. They just keep coming at you. No matter who's out of the game, the next guy up, he's almost as good as the guy in front of him. And they have three levels of guys. Sorry about that. That's Max saying hello. They have three levels of guys, basically, who, you know, just can keep coming at you. And that's exactly what they keep doing here. Every time I see them on practice or in preseason games.
Sal, one last thing before I let you go. The seventh round picks, it to me is a really big storyline of this football team right now, that you have Daryl Johnson and Tommy Sweeney not only looking the part of NFL players, but making the most of both of their opportunities in a way that I just don't really remember. Now, we've seen Matt Milano's, right? We've seen Taron Johnson. We've seen some of these later round picks. But to find two players in the seventh round that right now, I don't know how you keep Daryl Johnson off the 53-man roster. And with Tommy Sweeney, I don't know that you can, because of Tyler Croft's long-term. He's potentially going to the PUP list. There's some rumblings there. Dawson Knox still isn't available. I just keep seeing these two guys flash with starters against starters. And that says something to me. For seventh-round picks, that's pretty remarkable.
There's going to be some guys cut from this football team that are pretty good, that are going to have to, they're going to probably get picked up by other teams. We haven't seen that from the Bills in quite a while, which is them releasing players that actually are wanted by other people. And I think that's what's going to happen here. You're right. Look, I mean, Tommy Sweeney needed a good night, though, last night. I was disappointed in his last week. Going back to last Thursday's game, preseason one, he dropped that pass. He had another drop in the scrimmage setting against the Panthers. He showed up big last night. I was happy for that, because he looked really good when he first came on and had to fill in. Then he took a step back. I thought it was a good step last night. I agree. He makes this team. He's a guy that's just going to be solid for you. He runs good routes. He has really good hands, although he did have those drops I talked about. He's a solid blocker. Not great. He does everything pretty well. And then, yeah, the other one, who is the seventh-round pick you just talked about, besides Sweeney?
Oh, Daryl Johnson.
Daryl Johnson, thank you.
Yep.
And, yeah, Daryl Johnson is just a freak. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. We were during a break, and Murph says to me, hey, you know, look down there, you know, who's on defense right now, so I could call out the numbers to him so he could get his chart set, you know, because they're bringing so many guys in. And he goes, Sal, is Daryl Johnson out there? I go, nope. He goes, oh, you don't see him? I go, I don't have to look for his number, Murph. He's so big, I know when he's out there.
Right.
That's what I said to him. I said, his helmet just towers over everybody, so if he's out there, I know, but I could tell you that he's not out there because of that. But at that time, obviously he went in eventually, and you're right. I mean, I talked to Sean McDermott about him and asked him specifically, is he a situational guy at this point? He said, no, he can be a three-down player, and he can play the six technique, which is over the head of the tight end, by the way. And, you know, setting the edge is something he's still learning, but even Sean McDermott said he thinks he can do that very well, and he's going to be a regular three-down player, three-down defensive end.
That'd be something, Sal. And, I mean, they like Mike Love a lot. I think Mike Love's a good player. If they could figure out a way to have five defensive ends, I think that's going to be a lot, especially because Lorenzo Alexander from time to time is going to put his hand on the ground and rush the passer. Either way, the creative ways that Leslie Frazier is going to have to rush passers with Ed Oliver and just some of the talent and pass rushing ability across this offensive line, but depth-wise, this is a really unique group. There isn't that A-plus guy, but, man, it's riddled with athletes. It's riddled with guys that have done it in the league. And, by the way, it's got a guy in Trent Murphy right now who looks like he is back to being 100% of the player that he was 2 years ago. And, to me, that's a huge sign forward for the Bills. So the defensive end position, everyone's talking about Jadeveon Clowney. That went, for me anyways, a position of question marks to a position that I think you have pretty firmly right now, Sal, right?
I think so, too. And, by the way, Sam Acho's a nice veteran, a nice player, right? I mean, they picked him up just to be a little veteran here to can come in and stabilize things a little bit as they go through the process with some injuries and stuff like that after they, you know, traded away Eli Harold. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a group that I really like right now at defensive end. Again, there's going to be players. Somebody's going to lose a job that can get picked up by another team that they're going to like. I think a guy like Eddie Yarbrough is probably on the outside looking in. Eddie Yarbrough's been a nice story, but think about how much that means this roster has improved. If Eddie Yarbrough, for example, doesn't make the roster, there's a guy the last 2 years that, you know, he made the back end of the roster because of his hustle and his grit and just kind of doing everything right. Well, you know, he's not talented enough maybe at this point to make the roster if that's the case. And I just think it just speaks, Nate, to where the roster is compared to last year and even 2 years ago and even just last year. But, yeah, that's a nice group. If Trent Murphy can stay healthy, he's going to be a really big player for this defense. I gave him an arrow up on my column this morning, if people haven't seen that yet. And you look, and yeah, he only had a sack and a tackle for loss and a quarterback hurry. Well, by the way, yeah, he didn't play many snaps and he had that. That's what happened because he was so impactful in the limited time he was out there.
All right, Sal, I appreciate it. I actually was just kind of going through Daryl Johnson's, you know, how the Bills tweet out like the information about the draft pick, and the last two MEAC Defensive Players of the Year that ended up being NFL draft picks, really interesting, two really interesting names. Darius Leonard is the one that's really interesting, the second-round pick last year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. He was the last MEAC, which is the conference that that Daryl Johnson came from, Player of the Year. So if he could have half of the first year that Darius Leonard had last year, I think Daryl Johnson's going to be a really interesting guy to kind of keep an eye on here for moving out.
Yeah, Darius Leonard is a fantastic football player. If you could get anything like that, that would be pretty amazing. Yeah, they have some guys they found, and you know they were able to bring in here and develop them. And Daryl Johnson's just another one of them. I mean, Jaquan Johnson, the safety, another solid game. When I watched him on film when he was drafted, what I wrote about was he just always seemed so smart and took good angles. He's not the biggest guy, so he's got to rely on his football IQ, understanding angles, understanding how to get to a ball, and that's exactly what he's shown so far.
All right, Sal, enjoy the school shopping. We appreciate your time this morning. We'll hear from you on Monday, I'm sure.
Okay, bud, thanks.
Thanks. Sal Capaccio there on the West Hur Hotline. I've got Matt Perino of New York Upstate. He's going to join us next here on Sports Talk Saturday, but I'd like to hear from you. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Reacting from yesterday's 27-14 Bills victory on the road, preseason game number two. They are now 2-0 on the preseason. If you've got thoughts, we'd love to hear it. You can tweet at me at Nate Geary WGR or give us a call, 803-0551, 888-552-550 here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm glad to finally get in a game and see him in action. You know, it's one thing to do it in practice, but it's another thing to get in the game. And dude's a gamer. You know, he gets in, he puts his game face on, and he runs the offense, he runs the huddle, and he just leads with his play. It's awesome to be a part of that and be able to help him out.
It's Bills' first-year wide receiver, Cole Beasley, last night after the game. You'll hear from him at some point here during the morning. We'll have some player sound from yesterday at the podium. You'll hear from Cole Beasley. We've also got Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, and somebody else, too. I don't know. Derek probably knows. Derek's good at knowing things. 803-05, that's actually not true. And I'm glad that you held me accountable on
you
that.
You say a lot of dumb things. That might have been the dumbest.
That was actually – I'm glad that you called me out on that.
It's always my brand to make sure that everybody knows that I don't know things. I'm just kind of – the goofy sidekick that
you're just around. You exist.
Whoa,
breathing.
Whoa.
You
no.
Breathe well.
You see, there is some. You know what? I do know one thing. I know how to turn a phrase that you say into an open.
Yes, you do. Quite well, actually. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Let's go to Mike in Montreal. Mike, you're on Sports Talk Saturday. Welcome, Mike.
Hello.
Yes, Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, no, it's Frank.
Oh, Frank. Sorry, man. That's Derek's fault. You can't blame me.
Don't worry about it. No, what really impressed me about the Bills last night was the defensive backs, the corners. I mean, we really improved there. They were flawless on that side of the defense.
Yeah, the cornerback position, Frank, is an interesting one, and I'm glad that you kind of brought up that position because it's one that I think for the most part, most people are just comfortable enough about to not really have to talk about. I think one of the interesting things that we've seen, at least from the standpoint of the backup or the depth situation, right? They bring in E.J. Gaines. E.J. Gaines had a pretty decent training camp until his groin injury that obviously they put him on IR, his season's over. And the thing with E.J. Gaines is he brought that ability to play both inside and outside. The guys they have on the roster right now, Levi Wallace, to me, before the pick six yesterday, probably locked up that cornerback two job. But then you have Kevin Johnson, a guy who has that pick six interception. And you just what it makes you realize is the depth that this team has, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, at the cornerback position, may be their greatest position of strength. And what an important position of strength that is to be deep at the cornerback position. Right now, there's a pretty common consensus amongst NFL, you know, player personnel guys, right? You need to pass and stop the pass. And the two positions defensively that you look to do that is defensive end and pass rusher, or an elite defensive tackle like an Aaron Donald, and cornerback. And right now, the Bills don't have an Aaron Donald. They don't have a Khalil Mack. But what they do have is a group of corners and a group of safeties, just defensive backs in general, that are one of the deepest squads in all of football. Let's go back to the Western Hotline now, because Matt Perino of New York Upstate joins me now. Matt, we're talking about the defensive side of the football. We talked a little bit with last half hour with the offense with Sal Capaccio. We'll get to that in a little while with you. But I'm interested in your take on the defensive backs, because it's clearly a position of strength for this defense. It's hard to find a position of weakness on the defense. But in terms of depth, now you add a Captain Munnerlyn in there. You already know what you have from a Taron Johnson. Kevin Johnson has that pick six yesterday and is still trying to work his way up to that cornerback two position. Lafayette Pitts, Denzel Rice had a nice game yesterday. He had a couple of pass breakups. At the end of the day, you keep getting on this list. You have a guy, Ryan Lewis, and Cam Lewis, who ends up getting hurt yesterday, who they've really liked throughout training camp. And you have a guy last year who played meaningful snaps in Ryan Lewis, who's all the way at the end of the depth chart. So you look at from start to finish at the cornerback position, I don't know that you have a deeper group on the team.
I mean, you just put it all into perspective there very, very well. I think it's interesting. I went into yesterday with, you know, five or six players that needed a big game. And I thought, as crazy as it sounds, I thought Saran Neal was one of those guys, because they bring in Kirk Coleman, who kind of solidifies that backup safety role. And then they bring in Captain Munnerlyn, who is already, after 3 days, getting, you know, first-team reps, is subbing in for Taron Johnson. So, yeah, there's a lot of depth there. There's a lot of veteran leadership. And this goes back to what Sean McDermott has been talking about, you know, for the last 3 years, is he wants to get a veteran in every room. You're seeing it across the roster. Lee Smith is working wonders with these young tight ends. And I think that Captain Munnerlyn, Kirk Coleman, you know, they're going to help out some of these, you know, Jordan Poyer, for all intents and purposes, is still a young-ish player in this league. I know he's got, you know, six-ish years of experience, but to get a guy like Kirk Coleman, who's played meaningful games in the playoffs in your room, I mean, that's significant. And they're doing that across the board. And I think, you know, there's so much competition because of the depth, that you're seeing like guys like Levi Wallace and even Taron Johnson even step up their game to a whole nother level. And that's when you're talking about an elite level defense. And, you know, every team has great corners or a few good corners or a few good safeties, but it's about also getting to the quarterback and bringing that pressure. And I think that makes your secondary even better. And I think they're going to be better in that department this year as well, with the addition of Ed Oliver, Trent Murphy a little bit more healthy. I think that all of the pieces of the puzzle are now starting to fit together. And, oh, by the way, you have athletic freaks, Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano roaming the middle. They're deep everywhere on the defense.
You know, Matt, one of the players that – actually, two players last night in the postgame show came up to me, and it was interesting because between the first two quarterbacks, between Josh Allen and Matt Barkley, 17 total completions on, like, by the way, like 21 attempts. Like, a really nice day for the first and second string quarterbacks. And out of those 17 completions, none went to Robert Foster or Zay Jones. And now people – and I think for the most part, Zay Jones and Robert Foster both went out there with the starting offense, especially with no John Brown being dressed for yesterday's game. I don't really want to focus too much on Robert Foster, because I think he has a very defined role with this football team. He's a guy that can beat defenses deep. So in that aspect, I think that with what Josh Allen does well, that there's always going to be some kind of role for Robert Foster. Zay Jones led this team in receiving last year, and they went out and got two veteran players that are seemingly right now very much ahead of him, and they're number one and number two wide receiver. And with what we know, Zay Jones is probably the best at it. And I would make this argument, and I'd be interested to hear your answer to it, but I think Zay Jones probably best fits inside the slot as being a slot receiver. He just doesn't really strike me as a full-time outside guy. I think he'd probably live the best in the slot. And right now, that position is being taken away and run with by Cole Beasley. Where does Zay Jones fit into this? And I think really the question becomes, is you see guys like Isaiah McKenzie popping on film, making the most out of every touch he gets. You see Duke Williams finally kind of make the impact on a game that a lot of people had been waiting for since he was signed in the springtime. So with that being said, you can look at Isaiah McKenzie and look at Duke Williams and see two players that have two very distinct skill sets. I don't know what I can differentiate from what Zay Jones does, and I'm hoping maybe you can talk me and the rest of the people that are wondering, is he 100%, is he a lock to make this roster? And I'm hoping maybe you're going to give me an answer one way or another.
Okay, so...
I know it was a lot, yeah, sorry.
A lot going on there. So, number one, also, side note, you brought up Matt Barkley. I put out he's playing well, and he's been playing well, you know, in every game that he suited up for the Bills, and I put out a tweet that said, give me your confidence level in Matt Barkley right now. And I learned a valuable lesson not to do that.
That's right.
I was laughing in the press box. You know, in terms of Zay Jones, I think it's a good problem to have, and I think the responsibility falls on the shoulders of Brian Daboll to figure it out, because I think that you can be creative. I like the idea of ramping up the number of snaps with four wide receivers on the field. I think that's when Josh Allen has a lot of options. I think that's when this offense can be very dynamic because of the speed that you can put on the field and that short intermediate prowess that you have in the field, like you mentioned, with Zay Jones in the slot, maybe Cole inside, maybe three wide receivers on one side, however you want to figure that out. I think that there's not a scenario that presents itself where you have too many options for Josh Allen at this point. I think that he can find a way to do it. Now, listen, I think Zay Jones, what we're seeing with Cole Beasley, I think that is going to, you know, dig into his amount of targets that he gets. There's no way around that. But it's funny you bring him up, because I went into the locker room yesterday and my first thought was, you know what, we've talked to Cole so much this week, I'm going to go over and talk to Zay Jones and just get a read on him, because things are going great. Everything should be very happy right now, but Zay Jones didn't really do anything yesterday. Wasn't really a part of, you know, those two series where I don't even remember him even being out there. He was, but I don't remember it. So I went up to him and I said, you know, how much fun are you guys having right now? And he just kind of smiled, smirked, because he's usually pretty straight-faced and pretty reserved. And you get the feeling that everybody on this team is buying into more than just the me. It's a big year for Zay Jones. It's year three. Mm-hmm. He's looking ahead to that next contract. I guarantee it. But I think what this environment will produce is guys making plays across the board. And if you're a good enough player to make plays, when you get your opportunities, and listen, Robert Foster and Zay Jones, they have a lot of work to do to figure out what their new role is going to be. John Brown's the alpha. We know it. He can do everything. He's got the speed. He's got the short intermediate stuff. He is going to be able to do kind of like that Swiss Army knife. He'll do everything. Cole Beasley's the slot wizard. Robert Foster and Zay Jones are just going to have to figure it out. But I think that, again, back to Brian Daboll, he's got to figure out a way to do that.
I think, too, you look at a Cole Beasley, right? And one of the things I think about when I think of Cole Beasley is just this veteran player that didn't really, you know, in his time with the Cowboys, never really turned into, I think, the player that we're starting to see here. And do you suspect that his time, other than what I think it was the 2016 season, where I think he had 70-something catches, maybe it was 80 he got up to, he never really became the slot receiver that I think, like, when you think of the Wes Welkers, when you think of these guys that are perennial, the Julian Edelmans, right? The perennial 100-catch guys. He never really became that guy, even though his ceiling always appeared to be that. Do you think he is in the best possible situation? If he would have went to New England, is he likely going to have the same impact? I don't know, because there's a lot of mouths to feed in that New England wide receiving group right now. I mean, you look at N'Keal Harry, the rookie that they drafted. They still have Julian Edelman. Josh Gordon's back now. So they've got weapons at the wide receiver position. I'm not sure that he is Tom Brady's go-to weapon like he is Josh Allen's go-to weapon here in this offense. I mean, if you're Cole Beasley, you got to feel pretty good that it really right now appears that the offense is running through you.
Definitely. And I think that if you think back to the Dallas years, I almost think that Cole Beasley found success in spite of, you know, Dallas's best laid plans. I mean, and also, in most years, and there was a little bit of time in between, but, you know, Dez Bryant was there, a true number one receiver. Amari Cooper last year, a true number one receiver. But those guys are just going to get the target. Here, it's a little bit different now because it's almost like there's this equal playing field with John Brown a little bit above the rest. But because of what Cole Beasley brings to the table and the kind of quarterback that Josh Allen is, we're seeing this almost very rapidly growing chemistry between the two of them. And almost like it was like, wait, when they signed, like, how is this going to work? How is this, because Josh Allen can't throw in that short intermediate game, right? He doesn't have any accuracy, right? Well, what we're learning is all he's got to do is put the ball somewhere close to Cole Beasley and he can make a play on it. It was interesting. After the game yesterday, Josh said, there was one play in particular where I went back and looked at the pictures, and if I would have led him just a little bit more and put it on his front shoulder pad, he would have probably had a chance to go for 10, 50, who knows how many more yards. So that's at, you know, stage one of this whole thing. So just imagine where we're going to be at in week eight. Pat Moran, he does a great job with his podcast. He interviews all of us local media guys. He tweeted out yesterday that he says, I'm starting to think that 85-plus catches for Cole Beasley is a real possibility. I think that's the baseline, Nate. I think this guy's going to be getting 10 to 12 targets a game, and I think we could be looking at 100 receptions because, you know, if you put a linebacker on him, as we saw yesterday, poor Jermaine Carter across the board got really beat up in that game, you're going to get beat. You can't cover Cole Beasley with a linebacker. So it's gonna force teams to go into more man coverage, put a slot corner on him, and it just changes the dynamic. And then that opens things up on the outside. I think that there's so many possibilities, and this is where we'll really get to learn a lot. I keep going back to it, but we'll learn a lot about Brian Daboll this year.
Matt Perino of New York Upstate here on the Wester Hotline. Matt, I think if you're talking about a receiver having 100 catches, what does that say to you about the season that the quarterback potentially has?
I'm staying with my bold prediction, which I got a lot of flack for when I made it, but I think that there's no way that Josh Allen doesn't come close to 4,000 yards this year if he stays healthy. I think what we're seeing already is the evolution of his game. And, you know, just the, I liked what Sal was saying before. You know, he's a smart guy. You know, he understands, you know, his shortcomings, what he needed to work on, and he's been diligent about, you know, working on them and getting them fixed. The big plays are always going to be there. The scattering from the pocket is always going to be there. But if you can't figure out the easy stuff, you're setting yourself up to make it more hard on yourself. So I think now we're entering year two. You mentioned that stat about the jump in wins from year one to year two, and I just think that there's so much talent around him and an offensive line that, you know, is beat up right now, but is looking pretty good against, you know, I know it's the preseason and there's some guys out, but I've been so impressed with John Feliciano. Spencer Long came in yesterday, played well. I think Cody Ford's best bet in his rookie year is going to come inside of guard. I think that's, you know, you saw it yesterday, he was getting beat on the outside a little bit. And I think that, you know, and maybe that's something that if he does play right tackle, that's something that can develop over the course of the season. But you want Ty Insecki on the field, too. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, too, I've been pretty impressed. I mean, I haven't been breaking down the film at all, but just from, you know, what I rewatched last week and just from the game yesterday, I think Deion Dawkins and Quentin Spain are making a nice combination on that left side.
Yeah, I had an interesting phone call in the post game yesterday talking about somebody questioning whether or not Quentin Spain should be on the football team, and I was wondering what they were watching, because I thought, and not only that, but the left side of the offensive line, other than a couple of interesting like sub-ins from a Cody Ford going to play left tackle with the ones, Quentin Spain has been the one player that just has not moved off of that first team offensive line at the left guard position. You know, not only that, he's one of the best run blocking offensive linemen in football. It's the pass blocking that you wonder, but you have next to him significantly good pass blockers, especially in a Mitchell Morse, who's let up like two sacks his entire career. So yeah, from an offensive line standpoint, if they are as good as advertised, and here's the thing, I think what we look for, Matt, is can they stay healthy? Can this offensive line stay healthy? But even if they can't, you have the players, you have the flexibility that I don't know that if this offensive line loses one or two starters, I don't think that's as big of a deal as it would have been last year.
Definitely not. And I think that to kind of bring something, go a little different direction with it, I think the sneaky top move of the offseason by the Bills as an organization was hiring offensive line Bobby Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm so impressed with him. I keep talking and tweeting out videos of him. People are going to start thinking I have a man crush on the guy or something. But, you know, when you go from what Juan Castillo brought last year and just, you know, it was almost like, you know, you're waiting for a pulse. You know, you're feeling for a pulse. And every day on the practice field, this guy is, you know, engaging his players. He's got a very high tempo at practice in the drills. And Sean McDermott said in just the 4 or 5 months he's been here, he's already noticed the impact that he's had on the run game. LeSean McCoy has said that he's picking his brain every chance that he gets. And Bobby Johnson says the connection with LeSean is great. He's a smart player. He asks great questions, and we're going to put him in position to make plays. So, you know, you start thinking about the possibilities of not only an improved offensive line from a pass block perspective, but where it needs to be better, you know, in terms of the run blocking. And Bobby Johnson is the perfect guy to put in place here. He's bringing over proven success. I mean, who would have thought going into 2018, I know Quentin Nelson's a beast, but who would have thought that that team, that Indianapolis Colts team, would run the ball the way that they did with the cast of characters that
right.
they had in that backfield?
That's a great point.
So I just think that, you know, the sky's the limit for this offensive line because of who they have in place leading it in Bobby Johnson.
All right, Mr. Perino, appreciate you coming on your Saturday. Try to, you know, the weather's supposed to clear up, so don't worry. You can still get out this afternoon. So I appreciate you taking some time to talk some Bills with me. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you soon. I know we got some podcasts to do here in the near future as well.
Definitely, man. Always good talking, Nate.
Matt Perino here on the West Her Hotline. When we come back, we will continue breaking down the game from yesterday. We've got Joe Moreno. That's right, Matt Perino, Joe Moreno. Back to back. We'll have Joe in at 12:30. So we'll discuss a little bit of college football and yesterday's performance as well. Benjamin Albright, 1 o'clock. So we got some great guests lined up for you on a great Saturday. So quick timeout after this. We'll continue here on WGR. All right, everybody, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. I've got Tommy Sweeney following yesterday's 27-14 win.
I mean, a little bit. We've been building it, you know, since the spring. You know, he's a great quarterback, you know, so it's easy to build chemistry with him. And, you know, he puts the ball where it needs to be, and it makes it easy.
You guys talk in the room about, like, just what it's like to play with a quarterback that could pretty much hit you wherever you are on the field?
I mean, you know, just naturally, just, you know, him being what it is. You know, there wasn't any specific stuff. But, you know, he's great, and, you know, Bark's great as well, and they do a lot of things well.
Understanding Jason's on the verge of coming back. Dawson, we see him working onto the side. Does it add emphasis or urgency for you to make plays, understanding maybe your opportunities may start being a little more limited as more guys return from injury?
Not really. You know, I'm just not really looking at it like that, just looking at it to go out every day, whatever my reps are, whatever they give me. Just go out and get better and help this team and improve every day.
Can you just walk me through the two big catches you had, the one on the corner route and then one up the middle, like what you saw and what kind of the play was and what Josh saw?
Yeah, there was zone defense on both times, and first one was play action, so the backers were kind of down. I was able to get behind him. He dropped the ball perfectly in there. And then the second one, there was a little void in the middle, and he hit me right there.
How exciting is it just to see, you know, the effort that Josh had tonight? You know, 9 of 11. I mean, he putting the ball exactly where it needed to be.
It's great. You know, it's kind of what's expected. You know, he's got that talent and that capability, and he's proven that time and time again. And it's great to see it, you know, come out and just execute really well in a preseason game like this.
That's Bills rookie tight end Tommy Sweeney. We'll kind of continue to hear player sound reaction from yesterday's game. We'll hear from Sean McDermott and Josh Allen in our next segment. And then we've got Joe Moreno, 12:30, and Benjamin Albright at 1 o'clock. So you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.